Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to FinancialSurvivalNetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz, and today is Brexit minus one. For those of you not in the know, that means it's June 22nd, 2016. The Brexit vote is taking place tomorrow on June 23rd. All sorts of potential havoc may result, but probably won't, should it pass. But more importantly, there's havoc taking place irrespective of what's going on with Brexit. We're talking in autos, a topic that you, Gordon Too Long, and myself have been discussing for years already, and banking manias, banking psychosis taking place in Europe as well. And what is this going to mean, Gordon? And hey, welcome back as always.
Well, thank you for having me, Kerry. It's always nice to have our conversations. I liked your word, psychosis, yeah, in terms of the bank, describing the banking industry in Europe, and Brexit is just rattling a very bad problem over there.
Yeah, as if they needed anything else to disrupt.
And put out an article. And it says that, and it was titled that Deutsche Bank is the EU's Lehman plus Bear Stearns plus Enron squared. And what I was arguing in here is, remember Lehman went under with ratios of 32-1. Well, Deutsche Bank's is published at 55-1 in terms of leverage, and we know it's much at least double Lehman's. It's got the bad bonds, and part of this target too. Kinds of issue in Germany coming out its ears as bad as Bear Stearns, and it's got a derivatives problem just as bad as Enron ever had it. So it's got the worst of all of them. Then you got all these legal issues: LIBOR fixing, gold and silver fixing, U.S. Treasury fixing, and the list goes on.
No wonder those guys have been killing themselves right and left.
Though the stock has been quite literally free fall. It's mirroring Lehman before the real information hit on Lehman. So, you know, we've been watching it. Well, we're obviously in it and short. So I need full disclosure to say that. So we think that, and there's non-performing loans that are with energy and commodities, old story there. But just the whole issue. I think they're in the wrong end of a lot of the swaps and derivatives right now that are huge problems. And, of course, what the Brexit is doing, it's shaking the EU. And as you know, Germany is the prime lender for all of the other countries and the target too. And, you know, it's not the Bundesbank. Who's their commercial bank? Who's got all the German deposit money?
Yeah.
The Bundesbank, the Deutsche Bank.
Yeah, Deutsche, so sure.
There's something percolating. I don't know exactly what it is, but I just smell it.
Well, we've learned one thing from Lehman, from the collapse that was allowed to occur there, is that you cannot allow one of the counterparties, the largest counterparty, to so many derivative positions to just cease to exist. You know, they're open on Friday and then they're closed on Monday. That will wreak havoc upon the world. So they're not going to allow it to close in exactly that fashion, but they're going to have to address the issue here, Gordon. What are they going to do? Print money. Yeah, we know that. We know we're really good at that, but that's no long-term solution. Something's got to be done.
Continue to print money until it implodes. Yeah. That is a given, but they're going to do more.
Yeah. I mean, they have to address this. And will the government become the ultimate backstop for the derivatives? It would have been.
I do. Yeah. Right. I think they're effectively doing it now, and we don't know it. And that is in terms of contingent liabilities. And we've seen enough court cases in Europe specifically with the banks associated with these things. You know, people don't understand, for example, Kerry, the United States debt is, what, 19 to going to $21 trillion. And everybody says, that's outrageous. Well, it's not. You know, and I don't. That's not the debt. The debt is really $84 trillion if you went in and put entitlements in and did proper accounting. So it's unpayable. But that's that's not the debt. The debt is $212 trillion, and the reason I'm spelling this out, because the difference from the 84 to the 212 trillion, which is called the fiscal gap, is that's where the contingent liabilities are in. So, for example, when we bail out Puerto Rico, we don't necessarily give them money. What we do is we guarantee the loans to them. So if they go, if the bank, somebody lends them the money, the banks, and they go south on the loans, the government, U.S. government steps in. So we have no debt on our books until something goes bad. But the United States, we got a difference in the fiscal gap. Between 84 to 212 trillion, and it's worse in Europe. That's where I'm going here.
Yeah.
These contingent liabilities, because they've been used so extensively, and they don't show up until somebody defaults. Mm-hmm. And in Europe, you know, I was mentioning Deutsche Bank. I don't know if you've been watching them, but the TED spread's been increasing, which is US wise, but the LIBOR OIS has been increasing. Credit defaults. Swaps are on the rise. The financial stress index is on the rise, and not just a little, dramatically. So all that says there's growing concerns, and it's not just Brexit, by the way. Brexit is just compounding the problem.
You know, Gordon, it would have been so easy just to get rid of all derivatives in 2008, just outlaw the things and say never again. We've learned our lesson. But what do? They just double down on the things, and we've got more out there now than we've ever had before. So this.
Well, they couldn't, Kerry. I know where you're coming from, but it was already by 2008 out of control and much too large.
Yeah.
But I would have argued minimally we should have pulled apart. There was no such thing as too big to fail.
Yeah.
Too large to jail or whatever, but we should have absolutely pulled apart the major banks, at least in the United States, and I think it should have been broader based, and busted them down, which would have forced the contraction on the amount of the swaps market. And for some of our listeners, to put it into perspective, the swaps market runs around 550 to 700 trillion dollars. What is the U.S. economy? 25 trillion? The total world's economy, $65 trillion. This is it's so far out of touch. Now, I'm giving nominal positions, but there's counterparties in here.
This is insanity.
It's too large. And that's just the swaps. And then if you add in the real other derivatives, we're running something like $1.4 quadrillion. I mean,
unfathomable. They're unfathomable. But in 2008, could have just been shut down, really. Could have been ended. And like you say, just shut the banks down, protect the depositors, and just start over again.
Instead, what did we do? We made them bail-ins. So if we go broke next time, we're going to take the depositors' money. Quite a solution, right?
And we made them bigger.
Yeah, and they're bigger than ever.
But, you know, one interesting thing came from it all, though, Gordon. Really interesting came from it. Wells Fargo is now the biggest bank in the country. Well, everyone was sleeping. That was like the one big bank that didn't take the TARP money, that didn't want the TARP money, but was forced to take it. They said, we really don't need it. And the government said, doesn't matter whether you need it or not, because if you don't take it, then everybody's going to leave the banks that do take it and go to you, because you'll be perceived as more safe than the banks that take the TARP. So all these banks were forced to take TARP that didn't want it, and Wells was one of them. And now it's happened anyway. Wells Fargo is the largest bank in the country. So I don't know if that's good or bad. Are they insolvent like the rest? Hard to say. They weren't forced to take Merrill Lynch and all these other carcasses, Countrywide, like Bank of America was. So maybe they're a little more solvent than the rest, but I have my doubts.
Well, we'll find out pretty soon because, Kerry, I believe, and I think we talked about it once before, I believe the credit cycle has turned.
Oh, yeah.
And the credit cycle turns and in concert with the business cycle, but it precedes when you start to see it in the economy overall. And so, you know, I'm looking at issuances now, like the triple C's, which is like a high yield issuance. They're falling down. High yield plus investment grade issuances are falling down. Reduced credit loan, collateralized loan obligations are falling. And that's because leveraged loans are not being, which roll up leveraged loans, their issuances are falling. And why are they all falling? It's because the credit is being tightened. And I just put out a paper looking at the charge-offs and delinquencies in commercial loans, and they're up 122% year over year, which is worse than any rate of change peak that we had during the 2007-2009. Not to be negative, it just says clearly the credit cycle's turned and it's tightening. So these banks are going to feel it, and they're pulling in their horns aggressively. Yeah. They're selling all of the energy loans and commodity loans
discounted,
where they're more than four times EBITDA. And a lot of them were like 20 to 40 times EBITDA. So they're really unloading a lot of paper right now.
Yeah, well, I see it in the foreclosure markets here in Florida, where they are just, before they would hold back the properties because they figured they could make profits on them, because however it worked with the bailouts, they own these properties free and clear because they've been written, the loans have been written off. However it happened, the Fed bought the mortgage-backed securities. Who knows who really owns them? But now they're just dumping these properties. The majority of properties, although most of the inventory has been sold off in Florida, majority of the properties that go up for sale in foreclosure get sold to a third-party bidder. The lender is not taking them back and then trying to sell them on the retail market. That tells you something, doesn't it?
You got it. You know, you said it, like who owns them, and it's a scramble. It kind of reminds me, you'd mentioned auto there earlier. That's one of the things that's going on in the auto right now is people want to short it for all the reasons that you and I said many times was coming, but they can't find the instruments to use to do the shorts. Mm-hmm. You know, you got people like Jamie Dimon coming out and said, somebody's going to really get hurt in the autos. Of course, he's not.
Not us.
not us. But somebody's going to get hurt. And so you got all these hedge funds running around saying, well, who is it? And I want to short it. You got Jim Chanos, the biggest short seller in the world, talking about he's targeting auto. So what are they shorting? Well, they can't find what to short. So they're shorting things like Santander, consumer or credit acceptance, who have some elements of auto loans. And what they're missing, and they all know this, of course, is the biggest holder of all those car loans is the U.S. government.
Yeah.
$1.2 trillion in car loans are sitting on the government's books.
How did that happen?
How can that be? That's ridiculous, Gord. They don't. No, it's because we bought General Motors. We were government motors, and with it, GMAC. Yeah. Now we've sold it all off. We don't own them. But all of the collateralized loan debt obligations, all of that has rolled up. For example, Ally owns, is really the new form of General GMAC, but they sell those loans. Well, who's buying them? Well, it's the U.S. government buys them. And that's why everybody's buying
the mortgages.
Everybody that has a pulse today has got a new car, at least up here in the Northeast. Yeah.
I got to confess, I got one myself, but it's the same thing with the mortgages. Those mortgages are still being securitized, and then they're being sold off to investors, in quotes. Who are these investors? Well, the investors might be the too big to fail banks, or they're the government. Who the heck knows? They're guaranteed. They're packaged by Fannie and Freddie. Who owns Fannie and Freddie? Fannie and Freddie are buying them. Last time I heard, those both were nationalized, right? So the government's buying the mortgages. 90% or 70% of the mortgages that are being extended now are complements of the U.S. government, right?
Kerry, they're commonalities. You trace it, whether you want to go up through mortgages and you end up with the old agencies, Fannie, Freddie, FHA, et cetera, the derivative. Whether you want to go up through student loans and you end up with Sallie Mae, et cetera. Whether you want to go up through the auto, as I just said, no matter what, at the end of the day, the biggest generator of the credit are holding the papers, the U.S. government.
Yeah.
And that's the trick today. Lend out money and anybody that can breathe and pass the paper to the government. Now, in some ways, they do it in different ways. Remember, we talked about this collateralized loan, but their acceptance where they're taking on responsibility for the debt, even if they haven't, they're guaranteeing it, even if they haven't accepted. So in a lot of the shadow banking, the CLO, CDOs, they're actually owning them. But in a lot of cases, what I was searching for was contingent liabilities. They're also taking on contingent liabilities here. And in the government's defense, keep this economy going because we have a credit shortage. And by the way, we also have liquidity problem coming in again.
And I want to point you to an article that was written in Politico, a magazine that I despise, but I read regularly. It was published in, I can't find the date here, but it is entitled The Real Bank of America. The USA has a bizarre $3 trillion portfolio of loans on its books and no one in charge, by Michael Grunwald, January, February of 2015. I would aver, Gordon, that the actual number of loans on the books is far higher than that. But that's what they were able to figure out. I'm going to send you the link and we will attempt to post it in the show notes to this discussion, because it is shocking reading that your jaw will drop when you read this thing, because it's school loans that are in there. It's farm loans. It's ship loans.
You got it. Exactly.
I mean, it's veterans loans. I mean, it's just, if you can think of a loan, Alaskan king crab fishery loans, I mean, FHA, you name it, broadband loans. I mean, there are so many loans here, and this thing is really written for the internet. If you were writing this for a dead tree publication, it would be about 500 pages long. It's mind-boggling, Gordon.
Well, this is why the auditors have not signed off on the U.S. books for at least 15 years now.
They can't
make sense. And it's not just one area. It's right across. I mean, the Pentagon ones has been outrageous. And it's because of exactly this sort of thing.
Here it is.
And I'm sure they can make sense of it. I don't think they want to go public with
listen
it.
Listen to this.
We have books that have yet to be signed off by an auditor. Yeah. That as an American taxpayer should concern us.
So this was in 2013. So it's probably triple what it was then. So 58% of the loans were for housing, or expect that. 31% for student loans. At least with the housing, you might wind up with a piece of land and a house that's worthless, but at least it's something, it's a tangible asset. Student loans, what are you going to do? You're going to take the kid's brain? I mean, there's nothing there. That is totally without value.
It's referring to taking his brain.
Yeah, it's a bunch of mush.
There's nothing there.
Yeah, if they're going to vote for Hillary Clinton, forget about the election, but if they're even thinking about voting for that woman, then there's just mush there, and there's no assets backing that security.
If you think this is bad now, I hope you're sitting down. It's going to get much worse.
I know.
And here, where I'm going on this, you have Lawrence Summers, remember our Secretary of the Treasury, is now running around the world. He sold it to Canada, to Trudeau, in terms of getting him reelected, in terms of fiscal stimulus spending. But he is arguing that what the world needs now is a global stimulus program. And it needs to be a fiscal program, not a monetary program. And it needs to be coordinated. And so the countries need to coordinate fiscal stimulus. In other words, you know, take the Fed's bank balance sheet up another $3 trillion. Well, that's unsellable, but it's going to be sold, and where he wants, it's going to be on infrastructure. And it needs to be a globalized pursuit of infrastructure. Mm-hmm. And heaven knows in America, we need massive infrastructure because all the states and locals they're broke. Pension plans are gobbling up all the money and they're not spending it on infrastructure. So there is definitely a need, but really it's nothing more than an excuse to pump liquidity and credit into the system.
Keep that thing going.
Keep it going. It's not about jobs. You know, the infrastructure, we you look at a construction site, there's not a, it's all machinery and heavy equipment operators out there. I mean, there's people, of course, but not like it used to be where everybody had picks and shovels. It doesn't create massive amounts of job, but it does create massive amounts of credit and loans and everything that goes with it. And that's what you're going to see, Kerry. And it's coming in a massive way. And by the way, infrastructure is not just about bridges and water ducts and roads and everything else. Infrastructure is also going to be about the security surveillance complex.
Oh, yeah.
So that we're keeping better track on with cameras, devices, recording devices, everything to monitor what's going on. I was just reading the other day, Seattle is up in arms, the city of Seattle, because they've discovered that all the lights standards have video cameras in them.
Oh, so, yeah, I've got pictures from New York on that stuff. Right, yeah, all over. It's ubiquitous.
But what killed me isn't that they've got them. I could understand that. It's who owns them and who put them in. They were put in by the FBI, not the city city of Seattle.
Contractors so, doing it. Yeah.
Well, contractors, sure. Obviously, but where it stems from. So it says it's already in full flight. And so I think that that's going to be a big part of what infrastructure is about. It may not be advertised quite the same way, but this is where we're going. And I'm listening to Hillary Clinton, and that she's talking about what we need is infrastructure and what we need is student relief and pre-college and this sort of thing. Okay. Then I look over at the big builder himself, and it'll take Trump a nanosecond to figure out that that's what we need to do is build. So no matter what, Kerry, I know where we're going here.
Yeah, it ain't pretty. Well, I know where we're going too. We got to wrap up. Gordon, just want to get some of your papers there, read your work. Where's the best place to find you?
Well, you start. Well, thank you, Kerry. Appreciate it. GordonTLong.com, Financial Repression Authority, or our new site, MATA SII, which is more of a technical analysis. And of course, we have a number of YouTube channels also.
All right. So as always, you'll find a link on FinancialSurvivalNetwork.com. Make sure you sign up for the newsletter. Must reading, in my opinion. We've got hundreds of articles from people like Gordon. From all over the world, bringing you up to date on what's going on with subjects like Brexit, like the real Bank of America, which I'm going to republish that article again because it's so Byzantine that you just can't believe it when you read it, Gordon. Tell me what you think about it when you take a look. And Gordon, we will talk to you again soon. You be well and keep up the great work.
Thank you very much, Kerry. Always enjoy talking to you. Talk to you later.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to FinancialSurvivalNetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.